All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is a mock draft and mailbag Monday where I will not only be answering your listener questions, but looking at the ramifications of this weekend's big trades with the 49ers, the Dolphins, and Eagles, and how that affects the Falcons' trade opportunities in this year's upcoming draft.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter, at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's Locked On Falcons episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. So today's episode is a mock draft Monday as well as a mailbag Monday. The mailbag portion of today's episode will come later in the show where we'll be answering a plethora of listener questions, including whether or not Justin Fields has maturity issues, what's the plan for the Falcons if they don't take a quarterback at the fourth overall pick, and whether or not this team would or could reach for a defensive player at that fourth overall pick, as some of the questions we'll get into later on today's episode. But the bulk of today's podcast will be more of the mock draft Monday. I won't be breaking down a recent mock draft. I'll just simply be talking about what the draft may look like now that we've seen these blockbuster trades that happened on Friday with the 49ers moving up into the top three selections and what that means for how the top of this draft will go. And then we'll get into the conversation of how these trades potentially affect whether it increases the chances of the Falcons making a trade back this year or decreases the chances of the Falcons making a trade back this year, how this trade winds up impacting the Falcons. We'll get into that later on today's episode. But without further ado, let's sort of get into that big blockbuster trade where the 49ers traded the 12th overall selection in this year's draft in round one, as well as a first rounder in 2022, a third rounder in 2022, and a first rounder again in 2023 to move up nine spots, swapping with the Miami Dolphins for their third overall selection. Then afterwards, we saw the Dolphins make another trade, getting back into the top 10, swapping picks with the Eagles, who hold the sixth overall pick. The Dolphins gave up the 12th pick this year that they got from San Francisco, a first rounder next year, although the reports were that it wasn't San Francisco's pick, but actually their own pick next year, and a fourth round pick this year to go from 12 to 6 with Philadelphia, and Philly also gave up a fifth round pick as well. So now the draft order has the 49ers picking third, Miami picking 6, and Philadelphia picking 12. So before we get into exactly how that affects the Falcons, let's talk about what that means for the top of this year's draft order. And it seems like confirmation for what we've thought all along, or at least suspected, was a strong possibility, which we will see quarterbacks go 1, 2, and 3 in this year's draft. That'll mark the first time since the 1999 draft where that's happened, and I believe only the third time in NFL history. Really, the question is going to be, will we see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4, which would be a first in NFL history? But the expectations are that the 49ers offered a similar deal to the Jets, who balked, which heavily implies that they are going to take a quarterback at number 2, which is why they didn't trade out of that spot. And that seems to be the thing that most of us have suspected for at least the last month or so, and it seems to be confirming that. There were also reports that Philadelphia wanted Zach Wilson, and once they heard that that was not going to be a possibility, presumably because the Jets are going to take him at 2, you know, that's why they were willing to move back from that 6th overall pick to 12 and collect picks. I think Philadelphia now has 3 first round picks next year as part of this trade, but who knows? So it does seem like Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, you can already write those down in pen as the first 2 picks. And really the question is, who will the 49ers take? Which quarterback will they take at that 3rd overall pick? There's been rampant speculation on who that would be. Who they like between Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. I've heard a lot of people speculating about the possibility of Mac Jones. I personally have a hard time buying that. Not that the 49ers wouldn't be interested in Jones, but to give up what they gave up just to get Mac Jones seems to be a stretch to me. You know, I do think NFL teams are probably going to be higher on Mac Jones than a lot of people, at least on draft Twitter, are. So, But do I think NFL teams are going to be higher on Mac Jones enough to be willing to give up three first round picks for him? Absolutely not. I have a hard time buying that. So I think for the 49ers, it's either going to be Lance or Fields. And, you know, a lot of people, we had Mark Schofield on the podcast, you know, in October telling us this, that Trey Lance is tailor-made for the Shanahan system. But I've also heard a lot of people think that that's the ideal system for Justin Fields in the NFL as well. We do know that Shanahan worked briefly with Justin Fields during a quarterback collective camp when Fields, I believe, was still in high school. And, you know, you got to factor in that Shanahan's scheme worked really well for that 1 year with RG3 before he got hurt. So he's no stranger to having a mobile quarterback like a Fields or a Lance under center and having that guy have a lot of success. Now, you look at that and say, well, RG3, that didn't work out. Well, A, because RG3 got hurt, and B, there was some personality clashes between the Shanahans and RG3, which led to them liking Kirk Cousins a little bit more. But I don't think that's simply because they like Kirk Cousins' skill set. It was just a personality issue. And from everything I've heard on Fields and Lance from a personality standpoint, I would highly doubt that you're going to see those similar personality clashes that you got with RG3. But we'll talk about that a little bit later with Fields later on. So whoever the 49ers take at three, whether it's Lance or Fields, assuming it's going to be one of those two, leaves the other one for the Falcons to potentially take at four. And let's assume for the time being that whether the Falcons take that player at four or somebody else takes that player, let's assume that Lance or Fields, whichever one the 49ers don't take, goes somewhere between picks 4 and 7. Where does that leave Carolina, the other team beyond San Francisco that was most speculated to be the team willing to come up for a quarterback? Well, they sit at an interesting spot at that 8th overall selection. It could leave them settling for Mac Jones at that spot. Well, if you listen to last week's Mock Draft Monday episode, we talked about how former Panthers beat writer, now covering the Rams for The Athletic, Jordan Rodrigue, mentioned that the Panthers loved Justin Fields and liked Mac Jones. So maybe the Panthers would be content just sitting there and settling for QB5 in this draft at 8, particularly in a scenario where there's a scenario where it could be Justin Fields, right? If the 49ers take Lance at 3 and the Falcons pass on the quarterback at Fields at 4, you know, it's possible that Fields could fall all the way to 8. It's possible that Mac Jones could be there at 8. So, you know, I think this trade, really what we know is quarterbacks will go 1, 2, and 3. And it also increases the chances that we will see all 5 of this year's quarterbacks go in the top 10. So I think teams picking outside the top 10 are going to have to be more aggressive if they want to come and get one of these 5 quarterbacks, which certainly is a good thing for the Falcons when we talk about their trade possibilities. So we will definitely break down the pros and cons of how this trade affects the Falcons coming up on today's podcast, focusing on the increased cost of what the Falcons could reap in a trade back, which is a benefit for them, but also perhaps at the cost of having less suitors, which is a potential con for them. So we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But before we get there, let me plug Locked On 49ers, Locked On Dolphins, Locked On Eagles to get the latest discussion on the fallout from this trade. Find all 3 of those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL might be over, but NBA, NHL, NASCAR, FCS, college football are all in full swing, and MLB is right around the corner. And of course, BetOnline is the best place for March Madness, whether your bracket's been busted or you're just looking to make some extra cash with your final 4 picks. And not just that, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, because BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, sign up today at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I got you covered on all things that you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons, but what about the rest of sports? And Peter Bukowski has you covered now on the Locked On Today podcast. It's all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. So the question, obviously, for us here on Locked On Falcons is how does these trades affect the Falcons? And as I mentioned earlier, there are pros and cons. The pros is it sets the price for what this fourth overall pick is potentially worth, potentially three first round picks. That is a very good thing for the Falcons. That's a massive haul. And if someone were to offer the Falcons that, I absolutely think they would pull the trigger. This is why I have said for the last week or so that I think plan A for the Falcons is to trade back. They want to get three first round picks. That's what they want to do, right? They want that more than anything else out of this draft class, I think, personally, right? Now, the con of this trade is, are you going to get a second team willing to pay that price, right? We've seen 49ers already were willing to pay that price. But what are the odds that a second NFL team is willing to pay that price? It's very rare where you have two teams trading up into the top three or four picks to go get a quarterback. I think it happened in 2016 with Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Didn't quite work out in their favor. You know, the history of teams trading up into the top five for quarterbacks hasn't quite been an illustrious history. So what are the odds that a second team is going to be like, you know what, we love these quarterbacks, history be damned, we're going to be willing to trade that price for the with the Falcons to go to four to get the fourth best quarterback in this draft class? And that to me is a major question mark. Now, the Eagles and the 49ers were two of the most oft-mentioned trade partners that I, at least Falcon fans, were speculating on their potential to move back in the draft and move back to that sixth spot that the Eagles had and that 12th spot that the 49ers had. Now those two spots are off the table, which leaves, I think, the trade market relatively barren for the Falcons. There are still certainly teams in the mix, Carolina being one of those teams. But again, since they're in the same division, I think the odds of the Falcons ever pulling off a trade with Carolina are very slim. Right? Do you really want to give Carolina access to a franchise quarterback? Wouldn't you rather have them stuck at eight and have to, quote unquote, settle for Mac Jones, particularly if you don't think Mac Jones is in the same conversation as the, quote unquote, big four in this draft class? Other teams that are often mentioned, Denver, Detroit, New England, you know, it seems to me, I think all three of those teams, at least in my opinion, are unlikely to be willing to pay that price. All the reports out of Denver so far this offseason are suggesting that they don't really have that much interest in drafting a rookie quarterback to push Drew Lock. They want someone with a little bit more NFL experience. And all the reports I've heard out of Denver seems to suggest that they would be much more inclined to trade for Jimmy Garoppolo now or Sam Darnold than necessarily adding an unproven rookie and particularly paying the price that they would have to pay to go get that rookie. Because I don't think, basically the bottom line is Denver hasn't completely given up on Drew Lock, like most or at least some of the football watching world has. Now, I haven't heard anything specific about the Lions, but at least the impression I've gotten so far with how the Lions have conducted their business so far under new GM Brad Holmes is that they're in the business of collecting assets. They're rebuilding. And would they potentially be willing to move up for a quarterback? Sure. I think they would be if the price was right. But I think they would have to get good value in that trade. They would have to get pennies on the dollar. Now, if you look at various trade value charts, the move from 7 to 4 is not as pricey, right? That would be a third round pick and probably a fourth round pick at most would be the cost to move up from those three spots, right? But obviously there's a premium at the quarterback position that you would have to tack on to that. Now, I would certainly think that the Lions would be willing to give up a third and fourth round pick to go get a quarterback. But are they going to be willing to give up multiple first round picks to go get that quarterback in addition to that? I tend to be very skeptical of that. So I don't necessarily see Detroit as a trade back option to the degree that some others do, but we'll see. Then there's New England. And most people, and we talked about this last week on our mock draft Monday, because I actually had the Falcons trading back from 4 to 15 with New England in that. But I think I can't remember the exact terms of the trade I had, but I think it was like their first this year, a second this year, a second next year, and I think a fourth this year were the trade terms that I had. And I had the Falcons taking an edge rusher at 15. You know, and as I said on that episode last week, that the reports, given how aggressive the Patriots have been in free agency to build up their roster, that people are speculating that they're going to be aggressive going to get a quarterback in this draft. But I don't see the Patriots overpaying for a quarterback. Remember, this is the same organization that when Thomas Dimitroff wanted to trade up to get Julio Jones in the 2011 draft, Bill Belichick is famous or infamous, depending on, you know, your perspective on it, for recommending that the Falcons just stay put and take Jonathan Baldwin at the end of the first round. And I think Scott Pioli wound up taking Jonathan Baldwin at the end of the first round instead. So we've discussed this before, but the Patriots are one of those teams that are firmly in the school of Ozzie Newsome when it comes to drafting, which is collect assets, not give them away. Now, I thought this year, given that the Patriots had 3 fourth-round picks this year, that they would be more willing, because they have excess draft capital, that they would be more willing to potentially trade away first, second, and possibly third-round picks in order to go up and get a quarterback, right? And have that guy sit behind Cam Newton for a year, and someone like Fields or Lance would be perfect, given that they could play in a very similar offense as Cam Newton and have that running element to the game. But the Patriots giving up 2 future first-round picks, I have a hard time seeing that without a massive philosophical shift from the Patriots, particularly when they could potentially stay the course and just nab Jimmy Garoppolo next year. Now, it seems like most of the reports are saying that the 49ers are committed to Jimmy Garoppolo this year, and the reasons for that is because they want to sort of have a similar situation as Alex Smith with Mahomes in Kansas City several years ago, where they sit the rookie that they wind up drafting at the 3rd overall pick for a year because the 49ers want to compete for a Super Bowl. And, you know, we know that rookie quarterbacks don't go to Super Bowls, or at least no one has yet in NFL history as far as we know, right? Second-year quarterbacks do, but not first-year quarterbacks, right? So if they have Super Bowl aspirations, then Jimmy Garoppolo presumably gives them the best odds to achieve those, depending on how you feel about Jimmy Garoppolo, but you understand from that perspective. So next year, though, they'll probably almost certainly, similar to what the Chiefs did with Alex Smith when they traded him to Washington, try to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to whoever is willing to pony up the best price. We know that the Patriots have been a team linked to trying to get Jimmy Garoppolo back ever since they traded him away. And so if you're Bill Belichick, wouldn't you just sit there and be like, look, if I can get Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick next year, why would I trade 2 future first round picks for a rookie that's not even going to play? Right? If Cam Newton's going to be my starting, you know what I'm saying? So like when you sit here and break it down from the Patriots perspective, it doesn't make a ton of sense if you have alternative options. And we know that the Patriots are higher on Jimmy Garoppolo than probably we would be. But it just doesn't make a ton of sense for me to imagine the Patriots being willing to pay a similar price as what the 49ers paid to go get their quarterback. Right. So again, barring a massive philosophical switch or the fact that Bill Belichick is absolutely in love with one of these young quarterbacks and that guy happens to be there for, right? Like, you have to get into a scenario where it's specifically the one guy that Bill Belichick covets above all other quarterbacks is there at 4, right? And there seems to be, what, a 50% chance, I guess, of that happening, right? But we'll see. So other teams, I don't see Chicago. I don't see Washington in the trade market. I think the fact that they went out and got Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick told you that they're not going to be aggressive to get a quarterback. Now, maybe if Mac Jones falls out of the top 15 and gets in their range around picks 19 and 20, maybe they'd be willing to go up, or, you know, a scenario where Justin Fields falls that far. I don't know. Pittsburgh, New Orleans, again, don't really see that either for either of those teams being that aggressive to come up. So, you know, this is not to sit here and say, like, oh, the Falcons definitely won't be able to trade this year. You know, it's impossible to know. But I just think it got a lot harder than it was a week ago when we were talking about the trade back possibility, given that if you had to rank the teams most likely to go up for a quarterback, I would have put Carolina 1, San Francisco 2, New England 3. We know that Carolina's probably off the table for the Falcons. And now San Francisco's off the table. And I think now New England's on the back burner just because, again, I don't see them paying the price that they would have to pay. So for the Falcons to pull off a trade, in my opinion, either the Panthers-Falcons trade has got to be significantly likelier a probability than I'm giving it credit for, or the Patriots are going to be a lot more aggressive than many of their local beat writers think they'll be, or there's a fourth team that no one right now is really talking about being super aggressive to come up and get their quarterback. So again, I don't expect any of these three boxes to get checked, but we'll see. Who knows? And that gets us back to where we've been for most of the offseason. And that's going to be, you know, who should the Falcons take at the number 4 overall selection if they can't trade out? And that's going to remain the question, the number one topic that we're going to continue to discuss on Lockdown Falcons for the next four and a half weeks. But we'll talk about it a little bit further on today's Locked On Falcons as we get into the mailbag portion of this Monday episode. But before we get there, guys, I got to let you know that Locked On Panthers is going to give you their latest perspective on all the moves at the top of the draft, because they have a brand new host in Julian Council, and his first episode of Locked On Panthers is dropping today. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts. So it's March, and you know what that means, March Madness, and we got to find out which Built Bar flavor is the best. All month long, Built Bar is unveiling their bracket for the best flavor with daily matchups between top flavors, and you can pick yours at BuiltBar.com. If you don't know, Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar on the market. They taste just like a candy bar, and they're not just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar and calories, high in protein and fiber. Build your own bracket or vote for your favorites by heading over to BuiltBar.com. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order when you're there. And today's matchups feature caramel brownie versus coconut brownie chunk to decide the final spot for the flavorful four. So go ahead, pick your favorites at BuiltBar.com, and when you do, make sure you use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. So the NFL draft is weeks away, so you should be checking out the two daily draft-related podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. The Draft Dudes watches every prospect so that you don't have to, and Locked On NFL Draft Podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow them both on the Radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts. So I'll be honest with you guys, late breaking news as I'm recording this episode, the Falcons have restructured Deion Jones' contract and saved them $4 million in salary cap space, and I won't get into that on today's episode, but we'll probably talk about it on Tuesday, and we'll sort of talk about the ramifications of what that could mean. But let's get into the mailbag portion of today's episode that I was actually prepared to talk about. And the first question comes from Richard J. He asks, I'd love to see Kyle Pitts in Atlanta, and I'm biggest Matt Ryan fan, but if Atlanta passes on a quarterback, what's the plan going forward? Ryan can't play forever, and this draft's quarterback crop seems too good to pass up. So in a scenario where the Falcons pass on a quarterback and take a player like Pitts, or really anybody at four, you know, seemingly the plan would be to build around Matt Ryan for the foreseeable future and revisit the quarterback conversation down the road. You know, we basically be pulling the same thing that the Chargers did back in 2017, coming off a bad year with a new coach and deciding to commit to Phillip Rivers for the next few years. And they had some winning seasons. And then when they didn't have a winning season, they wound up taking Justin Herbert. You know, I could see the Falcons following a similar pattern and wind up taking a quarterback a couple of years down the road. You know, how long down the road, whether it's a year or two for now, who knows? But let's just say that, you know, I am skeptical of Matt Ryan being able to survive another losing season in Atlanta, which is why I've seen a lot of people sort of putting forth that narrative and pushing that narrative that the Falcons are essentially going to be bagged this year, just because I think they want to justify their desire to see the team take a quarterback this year. Now, maybe the Falcons will be bad, and maybe they wind up only winning 4 to 6 games this year. But I also think they could just as easily win 9 or 10 games, and I think they have a soft schedule. They potentially have a high-powered offense, and I don't think that's an automatic recipe for sucking. Stephen Bounds asks, could you see the Falcons reaching at 4 to fill a major need on defense, similar to how the Raiders taking Cleveland Farrell was perceived? You know, technically anything is possible. If they were to do that, I think they would do so for a cornerback, not necessarily any other position. You know, I'm a big fan of Micah Parsons, but I just don't see him in Atlanta just because of the hazing stuff and the scheme fit and all that sort of thing. So, you know, Patrick Surtain could be in the mix. You know, the Falcons do have an assistant coach that was helping coach defensive backs at Alabama the last couple of years, former Alabama player. So was definitely plugged into that system. But, you know, based off of the history of the DNP's defenses, and I've talked about this previously on the podcast, I don't think cornerback is as big a premium position in the DNP's defense as it is in other teams that run similar schemes like Don Martindale in Baltimore, Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay, where they want to have two lockdown corners on the outside so that they can blitz a ton. Right. Even in Tennessee, you know, those last 2 years in Tennessee with Dean Pease was there when they did have a strong group of corners with Adoree Jackson, Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler. It didn't necessarily lead to them being this blitz happy team. Right. In fact, in 2019, you know, that Titans defense under Dean Pease was top 10 in terms of 3-man rushes, even though they had all that talent at the cornerback position. So I think Surtain could be in the mix, particularly if the Falcons were to trade back somewhere in that 7 and 9 range. I think that's certainly a feasible possibility. You know, I think Surtain's probably a lock at this point to go to Cowboys if he's on the board at 10. So if you want Patrick Surtain, you got to get him ahead of that. But I would be very, very, very skeptical that the Falcons would be willing to pull the trigger on him at 4 at this point in time. Jamel at JKN86 asks, do you see any non-quarterback draft prospect that could be overlooked in this draft similar to Russell Wilson in 2012? Well, to be honest with you, Jamel, I just don't do that much pre-draft scouting anymore to come up with a good answer to this question. But I do plan on having a lot of guests on that are a little bit more versed into this topic and the various talent of various prospects at different position groups on the podcast in the coming weeks as we lead up to the draft. So I can certainly hit those people up to see if they have an answer to that question. So definitely want to stay tuned to future episodes of Locked On Falcons by subscribing to whatever podcast platform that you get your podcast from. So Stephen Bounds' next question is, nobody seems to be talking much about it, but there are hints that teams are basically concerned with Fields' maturity and or if he rubs people the wrong way. Maybe that's just UGA fans saying that. Any thoughts on that or why some think he will drop from the top five? I haven't heard about maturity issues. Everything I've heard about Fields is he's more of a quiet, humble guy. And this is me just talking. I don't have any inside information. But from everything I've heard about Fields is that maybe he's too quiet and humble to a fault. And for people that typically want to see their sort of quarterback be that alpha, more outgoing personality, maybe that's not necessarily Fields. Maybe Fields fits more in that category, similar to what the big knock on Marcus Mariota was when he came out, which was a little bit too humble and too quiet to a fault. So I haven't heard anything from maturity issues. I would imagine maybe this stems from the decision for him to transfer from Georgia. But again, I don't, you know, there's been a lot of rumors about why he chose to transfer from Georgia. And, you know, I don't think maturity issues, at least based off of the rumors I've heard, it's maturity that's the concern there. Like, you know, more of it has to deal with sort of elements within Georgia's program not necessarily being friendly towards Justin Fields. But who knows at this point in time. I guess for those of you that don't know, like, there was rampant speculation that a member of the Georgia baseball team had hurled some racial epithets at Justin Fields, and that was what facilitated his transfer. Fields and people around Fields and around the Georgia program have all since denied that, but it is interesting. It requires more investigation, right? Because I think he was granted an NCAA hardship for why he was able to transfer to Ohio State. No one knows what that hardship is, right? They say, like, oh, it's not racial, but it's like, okay, then what is it? So, like, that requires more investigation, and I doubt that's related to maturity. You know what I'm saying? So, who knows? Mike at Mike 69457882 asks, why have you stopped going by Pudge? Been reading your posts since you were in eighth grade debating talent for the Falcons with Mike Sherain in Falcons Roost. Why no more Pudge? Well, for those that don't know, Pudge was the name I went by on various forums like Falcons Roost, FalcFans.com, RIP, back in the day. And the main reason, Mike, is professionalism, you know, and I don't necessarily post on message boards anymore. But if I did, I would probably still go by Pudge. You know, I kind of stopped regularly posting on message boards back in 2015 or so when Twitter sort of sucked my life out of my body or whatever. And basically all my Falcons takes went on Twitter as opposed to those long diatribes on FalcFans.com and Falcons Roost and whatever. But you know, I don't mind if people refer to me as Pudge. At least that's like, oh, if someone calls me Pudge, I'm like, oh, I know where you know me from. So, you know, it helps in that regard. But, you know, shout out to the Roost, shout out to the community at FalcFans.com. You guys all have a soft spot in my heart. I wouldn't be where I am today without the many people that challenged me during those days of those epic conversations and disputes and arguments over the minutia of the Falcons that I still do to this day on this podcast and on Twitter. So I wouldn't be the man that I am today. So our last question comes from what teams do you, from Lior S. He asks, what teams do you think have a chance at the Super Bowl? Well, you know, my early Super Bowl pick for 2021 is Rams Ravens. Obviously the Chiefs probably continue to be the favorites in the AFC. A lot of people will expect the Bucs to be better and ready to repeat or whatever the case may be. But generally my formula for what is a Super Bowl team is a team that has a top five defense and a top 10 offense that is also very explosive. So, you know, if you think other teams beyond those four I just mentioned fit that formula. You know, Arizona's an interesting sleeper that could potentially fit that formula because their defense is on the come up. And if Kyler Murray plays like he did for that month round, like weeks 3 through 6 last year, and he can extend that for, you know, 2 or 3 months this year, then they certainly should be a fun sleeper. So we'll see about that. So ask me again in the summer when we start to see sort of what teams actually start to look like at this point in time. But there you guys have it. And tomorrow's episode, we will go deeper into what the Deion Jones contract restructure means and whether the Falcons are just sort of starting to free up space for their rookie class, or this signals that maybe the Falcons might be willing to make one big splash in free agency before the draft. We'll get into that on tomorrow's episode. And if you guys have questions that you want to ask for future Q&As and mailbags, then of course you can hit me up on Twitter at Lockdown Falcons, on Facebook at Lockdown Falcons, or you can send an email to lockdownfalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Till then.